are totally unprepared.
Yes.
My name is Bill Carnes. This is my co-host, Dave Champion. Together we are
totally unprepared.
As you might have guessed when we first came on, we're like, hold on, last second. Hold on, can you stop the intro?
We're still checking those last minute facts.
Yeah, right? We're getting stuff done.
All right. You know, last week, you talked about news stories turning to entertainment.
Yes.
And
it continues.
It does. The saga continues, if you can believe it. Now,
yeah.
I know both of us think that the Kim Davis story is wearing.
It's like a bad Chevy Chase skit that never came to an end on
That's
SNL.
That's a perfect analogy, yes.
It is, yeah.
But it continues on because the media has been hyping the primary legal issue, which was the same-sex couples suing Kim Davis.
Okay.
What a lot of people don't understand is that there are two other legal actions going on, and one of them finally has surfaced as far as the media is aware, and that is Kim Davis sued the governor of Kentucky at the same time she was being sued, by the way. Her attorneys filed a suit in federal court against the governor of Kentucky, and the basis of the suit was that she has been wronged because the governor, in the wake of the Obergefell decision, issued a memorandum to all county clerks in the state of Kentucky that now the law requires them to issue marriage licenses to all eligible applicants, including same-sex couples. And her contention was that she has been injured by the governor because the governor did not provide an out for people with what she phrased deeply held religious views, what I consider bigoted opinions.
There is an out. It's called a resignation. Look, I understand. When Kim Davis ran for office, she wasn't faced with having to issue same-sex marriage license.
Yeah.
That happened after she ran, after she was sworn in, after she was doing her duties, after she took her oath.
Right.
What's been added to her oath is now what is, for all intents and purposes, an enumerated right that before was not enumerated.
Correct.
It's not as an exact number, but it's effectively now on the books.
It's been acknowledged.
Been acknowledged. Thank you.
Judicially acknowledged.
Now that it's been judicially acknowledged and spread across everything that is covered by the United States federal government, all of those lands and territories, mm-hmm. It is the law of the land, thanks to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Okay, because of this decision. Now her oath of office has changed. There's been something added to what she needs to uphold, protect, and defend. Something additional that's been added, which is part of the oath.
Right.
Because sometimes those decisions happen. If she's not able to do it, then the thing is, just resign.
Right, right.
You don't have to go through this. So there's obviously more stuff going on in her head.
Yeah.
She wants to bring this to the light. And it's a losing battle. I mean, the Supreme Court ruled on it.
What would happen if the Kentucky legislature changed the law concerning, leave aside same-sex marriage, what would happen if the Kentucky legislature changed the statutes concerning what Kentucky county clerks are required to do under Kentucky law for some other issue? Where she goes, well, that wasn't part of my, that didn't exist when I took my oath. So my opinion is it's wrong and you need to give me a way out.
What if they took authority away? Would she sue to get the authority back?
Yeah, it's insane. But let me tell you what happened in this latest case, though. This is a procedural matter because...
I'm sorry. This thing is flopping in my eye. I was about to cut it down. It fell right off. Go ahead.
Got it? Okay.
Yeah, good.
This is a procedural matter because the suit against the governor has not gone to trial. But one of the preliminary things Kim Davis requested from the federal court was an order that while the case is proceeding, she is exempt from the governor's memorandum requiring all county clerks to perform same-sex marriage, along with all other marriages, right?
Well, that's interesting, because the governor's memorandum had to just be advisory at the point. It's not like he's part of the conduit that could otherwise, that faucet could be turned off via the Supreme Court. Supreme Court's decision is
right, right.
The way it is.
He's more like, you know, hey, you know, by the way, in case you missed it, here you go.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
kill the messenger.
But the governor is the chief executive of the executive branch of Kentucky, and she's within the executive branch, so that's where the buck stops, so to speak. So the judge in the federal case said, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay. Now, there's something called an interlocutory appeal. That means I'm being injured right now, so the whole case has to stop, and I'm going to appeal this thing that you said, Mr. Judge.
I think that's been used in spelling bees. Interlocutory.
Yes, exactly. It took me a while to get my tongue to do that, right?
That was the first time I've ever said it. I got lucky.
You did. That was good. So they appeal this matter directly to the Sixth. And remember, I've told you a couple of times in these cases, like with the Supreme Court, they just said denied, right?
Right.
No comment, right? The Sixth said denied because your case stands no chance of prevailing. You know, you'd think her attorneys would be like, you know, can we really need to stop?
And that's where they should be held accountable. Yes. We've all seen these ridiculous suits. The single most ridiculous legal argument I ever was aware of was actually, I was in high school. This is back in the 80s.
Right.
And an attorney took on a client, and they tried to sue Wendy's because there was no ham in their hamburger. So, of course, in their response, yeah, it's named after a sandwich from Hamburg, Germany. Yeah. This is commonly known based on all this information. The judge kicked it out. And if I remember correctly in this case, it's been
a long time,
a while. It's been nearly 30 years, I think. I believe that the attorney was got a little bit slapped by the judge as well.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, I can only imagine that case. But, you know, it's funny because when Kim Davis, in the primary case, the one that has had most of the notoriety, when she asked for an emergency stay from the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court, a one-sentence response denied, right? That was indicative of what would happen if she chose to appeal. She was seeking an emergency stay. But if she chose to do a full appeal to the United States Supreme Court, the denial of the stay, it was indicative of how that would go when she got there.
Right.
And the same thing, she should just stop now with the suit of the governor, because the denial of the interlocutory appeal with the statement issued by the six when they denied it is telling her the judge has denied you.
Okay.
You're going to trial on this. You're going to lose. And then you're going to appeal. And when you get here...
We're not even going to take it.
Well, I think at the circuit level they have to, but nevertheless, they're going to receive it. Well, no, they don't have to. It is discretionary, as a matter of fact. But when they receive it, they tend to They tend to err on the side of caution when they tend to take. If there's any question, they tend to take, and they can deny cases that are way out in left field. But if the case has any reason to be reviewed, they'll review it, including clearing things up for the public.
Sure.
They consider that a good reason to review a case as well. So the denial of that appeal, specifically what was being requested, which was do for me now, right now, what I'm seeking is the end result of my lawsuit, and they're saying no, and because you stand no chance of prevailing. I mean, just stop.
What I see their argument. Their argument is that you've always said that you can't exercise one right and in the process of that harm someone else's right.
Correct. One does not cancel out the other.
Right. So what their argument is, as me exercising my freedom of religion in the First Amendment, which is an enumerated right, you're now with this decision, because this is against my religion and I'm exercising my freedom of that religion, you're telling me that now I can't freely exercise that, so I'm being injured by having to do this by issuing these licenses. That's the gap that they're trying to get together. And I don't know exactly what they want. I mean, I believe what they want from reading all of these various things is they're trying to say, you have to allow for these gay marriages. You have to, you know, issue the licenses or bake the cakes or perform the ceremonies or whatever. I think what they're looking for is an exemption that says, unless your religion says that you can't do that, then you're exempt, which would be interesting because there's all kinds of things, all kinds of laws on the books and adjudications by the Supreme Court of the United States that people might have a religious issue with.
Right. And the EEOC, which is a federal organization, supports these sort of what they call religious accommodations in all sorts of cases in the private sector. Okay. Because you're in the private sector, you're not exercising a public trust, and you are not compelled by law to do X, Y, and Z. I mean, if you're selling, years ago, you were in the printing business.
Yes.
Okay. If you went out and sold somebody 10 reams of custom printed letterhead or advertising or what have you, it was a contract. It was not the exercise of a duty commanded of you by statute. Okay. In the public sector, where, and especially in a job like county clerk, where the duties are established in statute, you shall do this, you shall do that, you shall do the next. What she's saying is, my office should be exempt from the statute to do it because I say it's bad, and we know this because she told Judge Bunning, before she got put in jail, if you let me go, I will not permit my county clerks, my deputy clerks, to issue same-sex marriage license.
In the clink, lady.
In the clink, right. Now, the deal that she's agreed to, and so far she appears to have honored, is she will not interfere with her deputy clerks.
She will in this room, but she'll allow the deputy
right.
clerks. But then she's arguing because my name's not on them, they're not valid.
Yeah, I saw that press conference. Yeah. But the thing is, she's allowing the process to proceed now, where she was being an obstacle to the statutes and the constitutional rights established by the court being forwarded through the function of her government office. She was saying, because I disagree with it, this government office will no longer do it. Okay? And that's when they said, no. You don't get to pick and choose what your government office gets to do. You can maybe absent yourself from doing it, go in your office, close the door, turn on the radio, and let your deputy clerks do it.
She wasn't elected queen. She was elected clerk. Now, I got to tell you, in Nye County, where we live, our county clerk is a lady by the name of Sam Merlino.
Yes.
Sandra Merlino. She goes by Sam. Wonderful. Wonderful woman, wonderful clerk, wonderful job with a wonderful staff.
Nice.
I had to go into the clerk's office to file something. I don't even remember what it was a year or so ago. Now, she lives 150 miles away up in Tonopah, but she's down here regularly. She happened to be in the office. I walked in there with my girlfriend. By the way, happy birthday, baby. Here we are. Happy birthday. We walked in. We needed to get something done, and Sam was in there. She came up. She did the job for us. She's got a staff, four or five ladies sitting back there doing their things, and we were the only ones in there. I couldn't imagine her saying, you know what? You're asking me to do something that's against my religious convictions, so I'm not going to allow anybody in this office to do it for you.
I know. It's insane.
I'm going to impose my religious convictions on the entire office, is what Kim Davis did.
Right.
Which is why the judge threw in the clink.
And, you know, the funny thing is she's not trying to live her life by her faith. She's trying to insist that others live their lives by her faith.
Yeah. Whenever there's an argument and somebody finishes with the saying, because God said so. Okay, I'm. You know what? You just disrupted your entire argument.
Yeah.
You just pulled the plug on your whole argument. Nothing exists anymore because God said that's your home base. You're gonna run home.
Whenever we're talking about the civil law in America, and somebody goes, well, because of the Bible, we're done.
Argument's over.
Yeah.
If you don't have the intellectual prowess to debate your way through it, you're done. We'll be right back.
All right, we are back, and it's time for what is up with people continuing to promote falsehoods after they know they're falsehoods? Now, there's a greater point I want to get to in this beyond what I just shared with you, but I want to lay some foundation first. You know, Bill and I have talked a lot about the Kim Davis incident, and honestly, most of what we're talking about really is not about Kim Davis. It's about the structure of our Constitution and our laws and the relationship between the states and the federal government and how government offices need to function and so forth. Kim Davis has just been the catalyst, and what I'm about to talk about is similar to that. One of the things that has happened in the wake of her going to federal court, her being sued, the answers that she gave to Judge Bunning, which caused Judge Bunning to decide to incarcerate her briefly and so forth, is that a lot of people have been coming out with, frankly, cockamamie legal arguments. Now, of course, all the people coming up with the cockamamie arguments are the Kim Davis supporters. And, I mean, there are things such as there's no such thing as same-sex marriage unless there's a statute authorizing it, which is that doesn't exist in the law anywhere, that concept, that principle, any more than there's a statute that permits you to breathe. What we do is when the statute, you've got to remember, the statute was statutes were created to ban same-sex marriage, to prohibit same-sex marriage. Initially, there was no, in the law, there was nothing that said same-sex couples can't get married. But what happened is then same-sex couples showed up to get married, and they created laws banning them from wedding. And that's when the court came in and said, no, that law is unconstitutional and struck it down. And that's how it always goes. You go back to the Civil War, and when after the slaves had been freed by the 13th Amendment, the Southerners created the Black Codes, and the court came along, the Supreme Court, and struck them down. And said, sorry, no, you can't do that. It's unconstitutional. So, and the court has been adjudicating statutes and on rare occasions, state provisions of the Constitution as unconstitutional under the Supremacy Clause since 1791. This is nothing new. What happens is people really, 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 really want their side to win. So when the same thing gets done that's been going on for 200 plus years, they say, oh, that's unconstitutional. No, it's the same thing that's been going on. And I can go through a litany of these absolutely inane, cockamamie legal arguments, but I just want to focus on two of them because I think they have the largest impact, and they're completely knuckleheaded. And one of them is that included in the right of due process is a jury trial. That was a huge claim. That was one of the things that Oath Keeper, I'm sorry, I don't want to say, when I say Oath Keepers, it tends to, some people think I mean everyone who is a member of Oath Keepers. And we're talking about Stuart Rhodes, the founder and president of Oath Keepers, and the people at the top of the organization. And it's hard to separate an organization from the founder, who's still the current president. And the claim of Oath Keepers was that all sorts of Kim Davis supporters latched onto this inane argument without looking it up. And they said that a jury trial was a part of due process and that Kim Davis was denied due process. And the reality is, trial by jury has never in the entire history of the U.S. been a part of due process. Now, people can say that a jury trial is required under these circumstances or those circumstances, and in some cases they're right. I'm going to get into that in a moment. But they're required by other bits of law. Due process does not involve a jury trial. If you were to look up due process, every single article, every single court decision, any statutory information on due process for the entire history of the United States, there's not a word in there about jury trial. Not one. Now, Is a jury trial required in a criminal case? Yeah. The Sixth Amendment to the United States makes it mandatory in every criminal case. The only way you don't have a jury trial is if you choose to waive that right. The Seventh Amendment says that the trial by jury shall be preserved in civil cases where the matter in controversy, the dollar value exceeds $20. Now, back when that was passed in the founders' era, $20 is probably the equivalent of about $2,000 today with inflation. But nevertheless, the Seventh says $20, so we still work with the $20 amount. But of course, when the same-sex couples brought suit in federal court against Kim Davis, there was zero monetary harm claim. So the $20 minimum didn't kick in. Therefore, under the Seventh Amendment, I should put it this way, there was no role for the Seventh Amendment preserving jury trial in a civil case for Kim Davis because there was no monetary value. So, it's complete hogwash. And when you point this out to people, and here's the really irksome part, when you point this out to people, in my case, what they did was, because they can't refute the facts, right? They just turned and attacked me and called me all sorts of dirty, nasty names. But then I see them off other places making the very same arguments the next day. That's the real part. They've been shown it's wrong, and yet they head off the next day, and they start making the same arguments to other people that they know are wrong. The other one was that the 10th Amendment is somehow Kim Davis's protection. And the 10th Amendment says any powers not specifically granted to the federal government are retained by the states, which is fine, right? That's the way it should work. That statement is the defining statement, if you will, to the concept of federalism. However, what these people are really saying is under the 10th Amendment, in the states, we should have the right to interfere with an inalienable right. Well, the United States Supreme Court in Obergefell said that same-sex couples have a fundamental, constitutionally protected right to wed. So in order for them to claim the 10th Amendment suddenly disempowers that, is to claim that under the 10th Amendment, the citizens of the state, 51% of them, can raise their hand and vote for something that nullifies that right. Okay? The only thing that causes America to truly be exceptional in the world is our adherence to the principle of unalienable rights. That's it. We raise our kids, people in Russia raise their kids. We drive cars, people in Great Britain drive their cars. We go to work, people in Brazil go to work. We're not exceptional, except in our adherence to the principle of unalienable rights. And what these people are trying to claim is under the 10th Amendment, they can simply vote out your exercise of any of your rights they don't approve of. Okay? It's a corrupt argument that's attempted by bigots. When I correct them, I see them the next day making the same arguments. Now, I told you there was a larger issue here than simply people telling lies. And here's what it is. When people make when people claim that they know what the law is and they don't, as Bill talked about in his rant last week, that's ignorance. When it is explained to them why that is not so, and they continue to promote it, as Bill would have said last week, that's stupidity. But I want to posit to you that it's a much greater sin than stupidity. And here's what I mean. When a controversy arises under the laws of this country, and people lie and lie again and lie again and lie again, and when corrected they lie, and when corrected again they lie, and when shown the evidence they lie, to me what they are doing is they are making the case that Americans are not capable of self-governance. Bill?
You know, it seems to me, Dave, that insignificant people come up with these sorts of arguments just to remind the rest of us that they're actually alive and well. Not that their argument has any significance to it at all. As a matter of fact, I think the most significant thing that a lot of these people ever produce is a bowel movement. If it weren't for that, they'd produce absolutely nothing of any significance, and I'm not sure how significant that is. Just the idea that I'm going to argue a point, and I don't have all the information, but I'm going to argue it. Okay, that's great. Somebody like you, somebody like me, anybody out there, provides them with the missing information to show them, you're off base here.
Right.
And then they're, well, I'm still going to hold to my ignorance. Yeah, now you are stupid. That's when somebody shows how insignificant they are, and they also show how empty their argument is. When I'm going to provide you with this much information, and that's my argument. Okay, well, now how about we get all the information? Now we realize that argument can't hold water. It's not worth the paper it would otherwise be written on, or the keyboard it was typed on in this situation. This goes to show you when they discount the rest of the valid information and just stick to their insignificant point, how ridiculous they are. They all obviously have an ulterior motive, or they're just plain friggin' bored, Dave.
I think it's the ulterior motive thing. Obviously, these are all Kim Davis supporters, and they want to be right, so they want to be perceived to be right so damn bad that they're willing to lie. Even when we cannot, I would originally give them the benefit of the doubt they're not lying. Okay, they're just confused. But when the law is placed right in front of them and they say it again, now they're lying. Okay? How can we, here's my view. Once you take a look at a statutory question, a constitutional question, a question of fundamental unalienable rights, and you lie in hopes of getting the outcome you want rather than the outcome that our constitutional system of law demands, I think you've abdicated the title of patriot. And more concern to me is how many of our fellow citizens do this. Now, some may do it on this issue. Others may do it on another issue, and yet a whole other...
We see it on the anti-gun issue all the time.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because I believe my whole life passionately that, as Thomas Jefferson said, the safest place for the repository of the power is the people. And then I see this. And I think, you know, the 14th Amendment, very controversial, yes?
Oh, absolutely.
And I look at the changes that have been brought about by the 14th Amendment. And even though I have my own heartburn about the 14th Amendment, and we've talked about that, I look at what this country would be like if people like we've just been talking about had prevailed. If their betters, and I've talked about that on my show, hadn't fixed things. We'd still have black people living under the black codes.
You know what? It's just an issue of a person or a group of people or people of the same ideological mindset that don't like something, that want to try to use the laws and the courts to get their way. This whole thing with Obergefell should have never made it in the courts. The states should, no government should be allowed in marriage anyhow. And I'm hoping that this, one way or another, helps eject government from marriage and marriage licenses.
Yeah, we can hope.
We can hope.
All right, thank you very much. We'll see you in a minute.
Welcome back. Now it's time for my rant, coming up now. You know what really grinds my gears? The lack of Darwinism. Darwinism. You may have heard once upon a time of Charles Darwin, born 1802, died in 1870 or 80-something, came up with a theory of evolution. You may see on some of the bumper stickers of certain cars, they have a little fish, which is the Christian emblem. And then sometimes it'll say truth inside of there. And then other times you'll see little feet on the fish, and inside it will say Darwin in there. The idea that Charles Darwin came up with was there has been an evolutionary cycle for every living thing on planet Earth, be it vegetable, mineral, or animal. His book was rather controversial back in about 1859, because everybody was thinking, you know, Adam and Eve or whatever Allah and Muhammad decided in the cave that how things happen, I don't know. But Charles Darwin put this whole idea of evolution out there. And of course, we now hear every year of the Darwin Awards. When somebody is so stupid that they do something, they end up killing themselves. We call that kind of cleansing the gene pool, if you will. So the lack of Darwinism, it seems as though we have a whole lot of really stupid people, just ignorant, dumb people in society all across America over the last 30 or 40 years. And really, what I think it came down to was we started having too many safety tags. You do remember back in the early 70s, you'd end up getting a hairdryer and it'd say, don't use this while in the bathtub? You know why it said that? Because some jackass sat in the bathtub trying to blow dry their hair and they got electrocuted. That's Darwinism at work. You know why we have shoulder straps on our safety belts in the cars now? It used to just be a lap belt. Some cars didn't even have those. You know why we have the shoulders on there? Well, because so many people were getting into these various accidents because they were driving so stupidly that it's more of a security thing. We've now got the airbags in there. We've got warning labels on everything. If you buy a Happy Meal at McDonald's, there's going to be a toy in there, and there's going to be warnings on the toy. You know why? It's litigious society, because there's stupid people out there. And they got to put them on there. Stupid people are probably not going to read them anyhow. But they put them on there in anticipation of stupid people. So when a stupid person does a stupid thing and then sues the company over the stupid thing they did with the stupid toy they got, or the hairdryer in the bathtub, if it had the warning label on there, because of our litigious society, hey, they were warned. If they didn't want to read it, that's their problem. Like the mattress police. You don't want to take that tag off the mattress before it's sold. Now, if I own the mattress, I'm taking the tag right off. It's my mattress. I can do what I want. I can't go suing the mattress company over something that it says to do or not to do with the mattress. And then I get harmed because I didn't follow it. Darwinism. That's my point. And I have to say that if we took all of the safety and warning labels back off and return them to 1965 standards, let's back this truck up. Let's take us back 50 years. The standards of 1965. More stupid people would end up doing themselves in. We wouldn't have to deal with them. Now, of course, this is tongue-in-cheek. I hope you know. I actually came up with the theory once upon a time, the lower the IQ, the higher the sperm count. Because it seems as though we are overpopulating ourselves with a bunch of stupid people. Now, we can also help blame that on the education system. Used to be, we taught children, who are now all adults, a lot of them are baby boomer age now, we taught them how to think. Now, we indoctrinate them, and we teach them what to think. That's dangerous. Teach somebody what to think as opposed to how to think. We now remove critical thinking. We now have a bunch of walking, moronic, Darwinistic zombies who know nothing more than what they've been taught and don't know why they've been taught that. Dave, I believe that a vast majority of the people I'm talking about are on social media.
I think they are. I think it's a place that a lot of those folks gravitate to. But I'll tell you, either that or they live in... never mind. checked myself on that one.
No, it wasn't a strike. I pulled it back.
That's right. Yeah. You know, really, that part about what to think rather than how to think is, I believe, the single largest concern that I have about our country at this time. Because you've heard me talk about the my team syndrome, okay? A person decides I'm going to be a Republican or I'm going to be a Democrat or I like this football team, whatever it is. And then anything that opposes the dogma of that organization is wrong, bad, has to be denigrated, insulted, and more importantly, never considered, okay?
Yeah, as in its entirety, not even a single little bit or piece or small section
sure.
out of that entire spherical thing that they believe in.
Okay. So you brought up creationism in passing. Okay, if you wanted to know, if you had never heard of creationism before, and you wanted to hear, if you wanted to find out about people who perhaps disagree with creationism, okay, would you go to Christian books and Christian websites? Or would you go to atheist sites and scientific sites? Okay.
If you want to do the research, you'd go to all of them.
Of course. But the point is, even if you tended to, okay, the my team thing. I believe in creationism. I will never go to an atheist website. I will never go to a science website.
Right.
And conversely, if somebody believes that the Big Bang theory, okay, they'll never go look at, say, what the people from, say, the New Earth theory. These are people who believe the Earth is 6,000 years old or whatever the hell they believe.
Okay. Right.
But I will tell you something. One of the scientists who believes in New Earth had one of the most useful criticisms of the scientific community concerning evolution that I've ever read. Now, he's a nutball in a whole lot of ways, okay? But that one particular criticism jumped out at me because it was so factually accurate.
Blind squirrels do find nuts every now and
then. There you go.
It might be a nugget.
It's like every once in a while, Barack Obama says something. You know, he says 99 things, and I go, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy's president. And he'll say, like, that one thing, and you go, all right, well, you know, that's true.
And, finally.
Yeah, I had to wait through 99 things that were not true. But I'm not attacking Barack Obama and politicians generally, okay? But...
A lot of these Darwinistic people have been elected to public office.
Yeah.
You know, I know people, Dave, that they want to run for office. They want to be politicians. And I don't know why. I know a few of them that have run and lost every time they've run. Now, and some of them have run a half a dozen times, some of them once or twice. Every time they lose, they keep running for different offices. For some reason, they want to be a politician. And my question is, why?
Government paycheck?
I don't know. I don't know if and everybody wants to cry the same thing. Oh, it's a higher calling. I really want to serve the people. BS.
Where have we heard that before?
Let's sit down. Let's have a couple of Boilermakers. What's the
industry where we hear that a lot, and it's usually a lie?
It's all over, man.
I want to serve the public.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. The police issue. Yeah, I want to serve the public. Yeah, that's a great line of BS. As a matter of fact, I got into a little bit of an exchange on social media recently where somebody was putting in there about, you know, how police are out there risking their lives every day and blah, blah, blah. And I put on there, this is hyperbole BS. The whole thing is hyperbole BS. Yeah. It is a job. Being a cop is a job, not a position of superhero.
Correct.
Don't believe the hype.
And as I brought out in my video, where it says, if you go to DaveChampionCelebrity.com, click on the blog page, there's one said, fact, colon, there is no war on police. And one of the facts that I highlighted is that a police officer is 19% less likely to be murdered than you, me or you. Yeah. Well, probably not me or you, but the average citizen, right?
Yeah. We've been out there putting our names out a little bit.
Yeah. And we have a few skill sets. But I mean, how do you claim that, like, you know, they're out there risking their lives every day when the odds of the odds are 19% greater that the average citizen is going to get murdered than them?
You know, a friend of mine works in the electrical industry, works for an electric company, and he's a linesman. And that guy, I don't consider him to be a hero. I consider him, he goes to work, he spends 40 hours a week doing his job. He does far more classroom and learning about stuff than police ever do. His job is far more dangerous than being a cop. But he's not considered a hero for keeping my lights on.
Right.
And I gotta tell you, if my lights go out, I know it.
Right.
I know when my electricity's out, I know I'm gonna have a harder time cooking. I know that I'm not going to be able to watch the NFL or the presidential debate or whatever.
Or get on Facebook.
Yeah, I know I'm not going to be able to do any of that. But if a cop doesn't show up to work, how do I know if somebody called in sick? But if he doesn't show up to work and he's the only linesman on, I'm going to be affected.
Yeah.
So it's just one of these things. It's all perception. And the thing is, the police are guilty of it. Of not setting it to, oh, yeah. You want to put us up on a pedestal. We're not going to take ourselves back down. Yeah. Very few will do that.
I know a guy who is now, he used to be a professional logger. He's in his 50s and he's moved on because you can't do that kind
now,
of work.
Now, there's
forever.
A dangerous job. Yeah.
One of the 10 most dangerous jobs in America, right? And he was on a crew that was airlifted in, which is supposedly
even more difficult.
Statistically adds to the danger factor, right? The mortality rate.
Mm-hmm.
And he said one time one of his buddies got some piece of equipment gave way and almost sliced one of his buddy's arms off or legs off. He threw his buddy over his shoulder and hiked with him over his shoulder 2 miles out to the nearest roadway to get him medical air. And he said, I never thought twice about it, and I never told anybody, oh, look at me, I saved a life.
And you know something? That's one of the things where they talk about integrity is doing the right thing when nobody is looking.
Yeah, and shut the hell up about it.
Yeah, and this guy did the right thing when nobody's looking. That's integrity. Now that, to me, that's a hero.
Yeah.
Oftentimes a hero is applied to somebody that did something really stupid and luck befell them and they didn't get hurt for it.
They just
did something. I mean, like the perfect example is Forrest Gump when he was in the military scene. And he's doing something dumb. He's running back in and out of the jungle looking for Bubba. He saves his whole squad. Okay, that was stupid. He ended up being a hero for doing something, of course, theatrically speaking.
You win a gunfight. You do every single thing wrong, and you win the gunfight.
And somehow you're a hero.
You're a hero, right?
It's just luck was on your side that
day.
That's right. And, of course,
it's just the opposite, too. A guy who's totally trained up gets in a gunfight. Tactically, he does everything right, and he gets killed.
He's
a tactical bum.
Yeah, exactly. He's a bum. Yeah. And the guy on the other side that had no training, he just got
lucky. You know, because if it's got your name on it.
So, we're going to talk about viewer emails when we come back. And welcome back. This is segment 4. This is the section where Dave and I have gone through various emails that you have sent to us, the viewers, on stuff you want to talk about, stuff that's in the news, entertainment, stuff. Sometimes we get constitutional-related questions. Sometimes we get funny stuff in there. So as long as we want to talk about it, you'll hear about it. And you can always send us those emails, and please do roll them in. Send us as many as you like. We love getting these things.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if nothing else, for the humor of it. And sometimes it's just a good wish. Hey, love the show. Thanks, guys. Keep doing your thing. Those are always nice. DaveandBillShow@gmail.com. That is the email address. And, of course, you can always look up the shows at totallyunprepared.info.
Good job, Noah.
Yeah, good job to our engineer. Totallyunprepared.info is where you can go watch the shows. Of course, it has links to our YouTube page. It has the audio only if you're going to be driving or jogging or whatever you want to listen. So yeah,
I like the emails that people send in. They praise us for what a great job we do, and then they you know, tell me that I'm the handsome one of the couple. I think that's good.
I haven't seen that one.
No,
yet.
Did I delete
Perhaps
that?
Perhaps you were leading it, and I have to take your word for it. Hint, hint. So here's some really stupid things that have been out in the news just recently. So we're going to be kind of an entertainment factor. Oh. Some of these are from viewer emails, and some of them are some things that we had found. It's interesting that a 14-year-old kid in, where was it? I think it was in Texas.
Oh, the clock.
Yeah.
Oh,
he built a clock, I think, for shop class or something. And one of his teachers said, that looks like a bomb. Made a report, and the cops came in, and they arrested the kid. And the kid's name was like Assad Muhammad.
Yeah.
He's of Middle Eastern descent.
I saw his picture. He's definitely, yes. He looks Middle Eastern.
He does, yes. But he is westernized.
Absolutely.
And they arrested him. And the police said that...
And raised here, by the way.
Born and raised, U.S. citizen. And the police said that that they believe that his basically getting in trouble over this is enough. They're not going to seek any further prosecution. Of course, the clock was not a bomb.
Right. Well, let me give you my take on this, because I read this article this morning. You know, when I get up and sit in front of my computer first thing in the morning, I churn through news sources.
Where the Darwinistic people actually did stupid things?
Yes. So, he built this he wants to be an engineer. And he built this as like his own little personal engineering project. He built a clock from scratch. Okay? These are not the people we want to be putting in handcuffs and hauling away. These are the people that we want to be designing our technology and our pharmaceuticals and whatnot for the next generation. These are not the people we want to be hauling away in handcuffs. How many of you could build a clock from scratch? Yeah, pretty close to zero, right?
Yeah.
And this is a kid, a 14-year-old kid.
We used to revel in intelligence and bright people.
Yeah.
Now, like, we try to break them down to the lowest common denominator.
What are you doing? Stop it.
Yeah. So that wasn't in Common Core.
So he takes it to, one of his engineering teachers, and he shows it to him. And the teacher goes, cool, don't show it to anyone else. Okay? The school must be a hotbed of paranoia, because the teacher said, don't show it to anybody else, right? So he's in his next class, and the damn alarm goes off. So he has to open his backpack.
He didn't just build a clock, he built an alarm clock.
Yeah, it's got an alarm feature in it, right? So he pulls the clock out to turn the alarm off, and the teacher's like, what's that? And so then he shows the whole class, this is the clock I built.
Yeah.
That teacher says, give it to me, takes it away from him, okay, calls the police. The police arrive, and here's the part that kills me. The police say to him, what is it?
It's a clock.
They say, it looks like a bomb. He says to them, it's not a bomb. Okay? What is it? A clock. Well, it looks like a bomb. It's not a bomb. Okay? Unless you have some reason to believe that thing is a freaking bomb, it's conversation over.
Yeah, I mean, did he have, baling wire wrapped around road flares with his clock?
I know.
Did he bring a bowling ball and stick a wick in it and say, oh, it's a bowling ball candle? You know, I mean, how stupid do you have to be? Okay, so now other stupid things.
Just legally, though, if the cop looks at this thing and it's got wires and circuit boards and there's no explosives readily apparent, and the kid tells you it's a clock, not a bomb, you have no reason other than your paranoia to believe it's anything else, why do you put this kid in handcuffs and drag him away to the police station?
And just so you know, the cops have 60 minutes to conclude their investigation. No, they don't have 60 minutes. Their investigation must be concluded within 60 minutes. If there's not enough sufficient information for probable cause to make an arrest, what do? You long form it.
Right.
You do the information. You get back to it later if there's more there.
Yeah.
It was an illegal arrest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without any doubt, without any stretch, you would otherwise long form it, have it looked at by the bomb squad. Oh, no, it's a clock. Okay, enough said. Here's the clock back.
And you look at the comments made by this 14-year-old afterwards, and you really feel bad for the
kid.
Because he said, I was made to feel like I was some sort of some sort of bad person, some sort of criminal,
yeah,
because I built a clock.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly the wrong thing we want to be doing in America.
So, I mean, and those are the sorts of suits that should go through.
Those people who can't think, he's the exception and we're punishing him.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, go ahead.
He knows how to think. We also have a case of a guy who is in Connecticut, lives in Connecticut. He was driving through upstate New York.
Connecticut.
Got stopped in 2012, I think it was, five years ago. No, it was 5 years ago. So 2000, whatever it was,
ten?
5 years ago, 10, whatever. I think they said the case is 5 years old.
On my calculator?
And, yeah, thank you. And he ended up getting a speeding ticket, sent in the payment, and in there, wrote on there, F you in your crappy town, only used crappy with a word that starts with S, and then called him a bunch of...
And the F you was written out in full.
Yeah, and then he called him a bunch of female dogs.
You're welcome,
Noah. Used the word that begins with B. And the women who worked in the office, all-woman office, they took it to a local judge. The local judge commanded him to appear. He commanded that he be arrested. He posted a $200 bond. Of course, the guy got it thrown out on First Amendment cases. He went to a federal judge, and the federal judge said, yeah, this case can proceed. They looked back, and over a 10-year period, the police had made no less than 60-plus arrests for people. One of them for referring to someone else as a slut, and they thought that that was some sort of defamation or defaming words or something along that line.
You know how this goes.
Yeah.
They're misapplying the law because they want to punish you for your conduct they don't like.
You might beat the rap, but you won't beat the rhyme. That's right. Contempt of cop.
Yes. And what they do is they say, I don't like what you did. Now, in this case, what the gentleman you're speaking of did is constitutionally protected speech. We may not like it. We may not like the fact that it's profane. I mean, I'm fine with that. I use profanity often. I consider it part of a good character. But the Supreme Court has already ruled that it is protected First Amendment speech. For instance, you're probably familiar with this. There's been a couple of occasions now where guys have stood on a street corner or they've driven by a cop and they have gone...
Right, yeah. So, yeah, they flip him off.
Yeah, I got to hide it so that he doesn't have to go to work. Okay, so, right. And the cop turns around and arrests the guy for, like, disturbing the peace or something.
Yeah.
And then the town has to pay out $30,000 for false arrest.
Whatever.
Because everybody knows, including the cop that arrested him, that it's protected speech in our country. Yeah. Like it or not, it's protected speech. And this is just another example. Oh, by the way.
And this was a judge that threw the guy in jail.
And I have to make one point about this. He sent in his payment, okay?
Yep.
As far as the traffic citation is concerned, case closed. The judge has no authority to summons him to the courtroom.
Yeah, he should have just flipped in the bird from that one.
If I had, say, a $200 fine for a traffic violation, and I mailed my check for $200 in, and I got a thing saying, you have to come appear before me, I don't. Unless you're going to... No. I'm looking here. You cashed my check.
Yeah.
I will send you... Here, screenshot of the bank record. You cashed my check. Send it back in with a letter. You cashed my check.
Yeah, he lived in Connecticut.
We're done.
The judge was in New York. Forget about you. Okay, now the last one that we have is absolutely overreaching government. Now, this is not a law. This is where we get into what a lot of people call the fourth branch of the government, the administrative branch, which is part of the executive branch, where... Congress passes a law that concerns an area, let's say...
Operating a nuclear power plant.
Okay, operating a nuclear power plant. Or I was thinking more along the lines, if it has anything to do with the operation of the ATF, they then write their own internal regulations in order, within the realm of that law, to enforce these things.
The purpose of administrative law, according to the United States Supreme Court, is that the people who legislate in Congress cannot be expected to be an expert at all the wide-ranging topics upon which they're called to legislate.
Correct.
Therefore, they write what the Supreme Court has called the broad language of the statute, and then the agency executive charged with enforcing the statute writes the regulations, administrative law, okay?
Which has the full force and effect of law.
It is not law, but it has the full force and effect of law. And the way I've often described it is the statute is the skeleton. The regulations puts the flesh, the meat, the bone, the sinew on the skeleton.
And that can oftentimes be one person that writes that regulation that has the full force and effect of law. In this case... That happened out of the National Park Service. There are certain national parks, not all, but certain national parks that ban smoking. And it's supposed to be because of the fire and the heat.
Sure.
they have now effectively...
Flipping your butt into the grass.
Yeah. We don't want that. So now they're banning e-cigarettes from the same parks that ban standard smoking, not because of any sort of fire hazard, but for the general health of citizens.
What?
For the general health.
What?
Absolutely no way was that ever intended in any law Congress passed for them to be able to enforce.
They are exceeding the statute.
Without a doubt, I'm sure it will fail if anybody challenges it. Now somebody's going to be out of pocket a lot of money and a lot of effort to try to challenge this in court.
Probably the whole what do they call it? E-cigarette? What is it?
E-cigarette, yeah.
Probably the industry trade group will probably challenge
this. Yeah, you would think that. So this is absolutely ridiculous.
Help me out though with something. Now, no offense to those of you who are into this. I find it obnoxious, okay? Especially when they use the ones that have the scent, odor, taste, I don't know what the hell it is. You know, and they're standing, they're standing 3 feet from you going... It's like, dude, please. So I find it obnoxious. But that's a different question than health... So other than me watching people suck on this thing and not appreciating them with their scented crap in my face, other than that... What is that? I don't even know what the hell they are.
And that's the other thing. They cited that some scientists agree that there is likely some sort of health hazard from enjoying an e-cigarette, but there's no science behind it. They're clinging on to that. It's just another way the government trying to get
this?
Some,
I mean, they call it
vapor.
What does that mean?
What they breathe in a vapor off of an e-cigarette. It has a little lighted element, a heated element that heats up.
It does.
And it's enclosed.
Okay.
And it lights up this wax of sorts that has tobacco in it, or nicotine in it, pardon me, and you get to enjoy the nicotine.
The nicotine is optional, right? Some of them don't
have
it.
Some of them don't have
it. It's more like an oral fixation thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And with that...
We can fix that.
We'll be back next week, guys.